सर्वधर्मान् परित्यज्य मामेकं शरणं व्रज.
The miseries of material existence and the most hopeless conditions of life is the best possible opportunity to turn to God.
You're listening to Bare Knuckle Bhakti Shorties on the Bhakti Recovery Podcast with Jiva G, coming at you every Monday with a little spiritual sum. Good morning and good evening and good day, wherever you are. Happy Monday, the beginning of the week, and I am back in Munich. Had a wonderful time in Mayapur, and I'm having a wonderful time at home. I was sitting here this morning, and Alex, my partner, says, I want to talk about a verse from the Gita. And we do this sometimes. We sit down and we pick a Gita verse or whatever, and we discuss it. And it's interesting. So, you know, we talked about 270, and I'm sorry I don't have it right in front of me now. I just picked up this recording device to talk without having the proper, I can tell you the gist of it. It's 270. You guys can look it up. Chapter 2, verse 70. It's about the rivers running into the ocean and having the ocean not being disturbed. And that's what we strive for, is to not, the man who is not disturbed by the outside things, and stay steady in Krishna consciousness without getting disturbed, is truly an enlightened one. We had like this long talk about that. We had to talk about, excuse me. We had to talk about how that is relevant, and also maybe the struggles that some devotees go through, trying to reach that stage of perfection, and how much stress that can cause, as opposed to somebody who can accept that, you know, we all have a ceiling, and sometimes those ceilings are other people's floors. let me explain myself on that one. You know, knowing that, for me, you know, knowing that I get disturbed by, you know, things that aren't Krishna conscious, things that aren't God conscious, things that aren't program, things that aren't bhakti, or that I perceive that aren't that, that I perceive as a disturbance and not an opportunity to learn, then my mind is disturbed. And now I can really go into that, not an opportunity and a disturbance. It's my attitude and how I look at that. So when anything comes my way, you know, I think the prelude of acceptance, at least for me and in my experience, the prelude of acceptance is struggle. The prelude to winning a fight is fighting, and then you surrender. I guess just like Arjuna and, you know, fighting against his dharma, fighting against, you know, all of what he believes to be right. So in our daily lives, how is it that we are constantly disturbed? It's not because our lifestyle is, okay, it could be a part of it that our lifestyle is not conducive to our Krishna consciousness. Of course it could be that. But truly, in the end, it's our mind, and it's where we are. You know, it's where we were born. It's where we are at the time where we are, in the age of Kali, in our karma, and all of these things that are involved in a mind which is disturbed constantly, and a disturbance could be just the incapability of the acceptance of where I am. Let me give you an example. I see somebody who
was pretty steady-minded. Somebody who can perform things in a very, very gentle, sort of slow way, where I just fumble and break things and be clumsy and I'm emotional about it or whatever. And I want to be like that person, or I want to have that what they have. Is that possible? And here we get into the struggle and into the karma and into the personal and into the person's, you know, disposition and how they're born and what they are. I cannot compare myself, you know, with somebody else. I cannot say I want to be just like this person. I can say I'd like to strive to be like that person and do things to, quite simply, if I'm a frog, I can't wish to be, you know, a deer. And in order to accept being a frog, you do the best you can as a frog. It's the weirdest analogy, but I just thought about that. You know, we make the best of a bad deal. That's what we do. And it's really interesting that, you know, however, whatever it is, you know, like, I think some people can say, like, I think we started this conversation, Alex and I, we started this conversation with, like, in a way, not opposing opinions, but different approaches. So I said in my experience, I don't know anybody who is undisturbed. I just don't know one human being on this earth who's not disturbed at times. And and I think that maybe, I think he had a slightly different, not opinion, but a different view on that. You know, my view was like, okay, I don't want to strive for perfection. For me, as it being in the program, it's progress, not perfection. And I think he was saying exactly the same thing, just from a different approach. Because Alex doesn't work a 12-step program. He really works out his things through the process of bhakti, that it's become his process, and he's made so much advancement. And I really appreciate that. So who can say that they're not disturbed? And he was like, yeah, but how can you know? And I said, look, when we come into Krishna consciousness, when we come into a spiritual life, when we come into anything like that, any kind of purification process, all of us carry what we have been conditioned to believe as children, and we carry that with us. Now either we can drop that backpack of shame and blame and comparisons and criticisms and all of that stuff, we can drop that backpack. We can lighten the load and keep the backpack. We can drop little things on the road. It's all different for each person. And for me, and my experience is that I need to go through that backpack to understand what's in that backpack and to let go of those things. Because a lot of the time for me, I needed some of those things in the backpack because they were sort of a survival for me. You know, all of that stuff that I had, that I'm conditioned to believe, and the reactions that I had towards those. Which is why the fourth and the fifth step for someone like myself is vital. However, so the fourth step is that we made a fearless and moral inventory of ourselves, and then we we share that with God, ourselves, and another human being, and we share the exact nature of our wrongs, or our whatever it is. So this is the crux. This is where, like, my whole life. And they say in AA that, you know, we don't delve into the fourth and fifth step and stay there. We name it, we do that, with the list, and we share that with God, ourselves, and another human being, completely honest We stand naked before our, not literally, but we stand naked before our maker. And we, in a way, we confess these things. And that's part of the cleansing process. And then when we're knowledgeable of those things, we work 6 and 7 with that. And that's, you know, we become willing to have God remove these defects of character. And then we ask God to remove them. So, and then of course, it's the perfect process. Then we go with all of that backpack. Then, you know, we've gone through the backpack. We've named it. We've shown it to someone and to God. We ask him to remove them. We become willing to remove them. We ask God to remove them. And then when we go to step 8 and 9, we make a list of all the people that got it, you know, that we'd harmed. Let me put that in layman's terms. We, you know, all those things that we carried with us, that not only does it harm ourselves, it harmed other people. So we figure out, make a list of the people that we know that have been hurt in the gunfire, in the line of fire. And and then we go out and make direct amends to those people. And so in a way, that is kind of a one and done, because then we have the 10th step, which says we take personal inventory. We continue to take personal inventory. And when we were wrong, we promptly admitted it. That means we are aware of that backpack. Some of the things in that backpack are still there, but we've gotten rid of a bunch of them, right? And then, and so that's kind of for some people really important to do. But what I wanted to get to, what I wanted to be clear on, is that we don't wallow in that. We don't stay there. We visit it, we name it, we get through it, and then we go on. So it's really important. I mean, we can't really fix something if we don't know what it is. I mean, and we can't fix it alone anyway. God is going to fix it. We just need to bring a wrench. So, yeah. I don't know. I think that's all I have to say about that. And I'm really happy to be able to share that with you guys. And I hope that gave you some inspiration. Check it out. Check out the Gita, the Bhagavad Gita as it is. And it's 270, chapter 2, verse 70. All right, guys, have a great week. See you on Thursday with another interview. And Hari Bol.
Thanks for listening. I hope you like the Monday Shorties. Don't forget to check out our full-length episodes on Thursdays. If you like what you heard, spread the word. Peace out.
Sarvadharman parityajya mamekam sharanam vraja.
The miseries of material existence and the most hopeless conditions of life is the best possible opportunity to turn to God.